Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday night. Friday, July the 24th, 2026. 7:24:26, 15 minutes past the hour. And you'll be interested to know that I am alone in the studio right now. Now, I'm not sure where Matt is. I've sent the word out. I don't know where he is. So, if you would like to call in and be the guest co-host for this show until he shows up, if he shows up, feel free to hit the toll-free line. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to call in and we can talk about whatever is going on in the world. Now, a lot of conversation this week certainly has been dominated by the announcement that Marion is in fiscal emergency. We've certainly talked about that a lot. And we've talked about the, whoa, hey, we're getting a call right off the bat here. Maybe this is a guest host of sorts. Go ahead, caller.
All right, I don't want to be the co-host. I mean, good evening, Scott. How are you?
Good. Hey, talk long. We don't know where Matt is.
Well, I want to know. I was very busy this morning, and then I went into, a dead zone. Those still exist. Right there by 229, the new gun range they put down in Delaware State Park. I always drop signal there. What's the situation with school superintendent or Facebook post or what happened with that? Or is that beating a dead horse at this point?
No. Well, we don't really know the facts of it. But what happened was there was apparently a student, a special needs student, that had been enrolled at Pleasant.
I think I know this now.
Okay.
They are a city resident, and they wanted to be opened. They have been open enrolled too. I didn't know it was Pleasant, but they have been refused.
But the interesting part of this, and I think it's what we were talking about earlier, they were refused. Now, so the post went up and got a lot of attention, and a lot of people attacked Pleasant. And Pleasant essentially said, this isn't us, you know,
the federal government.
The Department of Education essentially no longer exists for a lot of people. And this is not us wanting to turn people down, this is a staffing issue. Well, there was so much bad press, I think, because of this, because this thing got shared a lot, that something obviously happened, because this woman has now completely disappeared from social media, who made the post. I think the post has been pulled down until I'm told otherwise. And apparently Pleasant, in the last couple days, was advertising for two special needs teachers. So we're not really sure what happened, but the conversation we were having earlier was, in her post, she did not say that she had talked to the superintendent. And I thought, well, you know, why make this post to create outrage if you haven't talked to them? Now, did she? Maybe she did, but we don't know.
Right. Her outrage shouldn't be with the district. The district, I don't know if, I mean, you know how it goes because of your background with education, but the schools are required to take the students that live in their district, but you're not required to take open enrollment students. However, they come with dollars attached to them, and I know Ridgedale stayed afloat on open enrollment for a while. Their regular enrollment, I don't know what it is now, but it dipped so low that they basically had to open enroll a very large portion of their population just to be able to have enough students to get their federal funding. Since the federal funding has been cut, they are required to take students that live in their district. They are required to give them their IEP, follow their IEP plans, whatever that it might include, speech, occupational therapy, extra time, you know, special education. However, they, due to the cuts and everything, they might not be able to afford to provide those for students that are outside their district. So, like, Marion City, if you're a Marion City resident, they have to provide those services. If you are a Marion City resident and you're trying to go to Pleasant, they don't have to provide those services. They don't have to take you. But what they do have to do is make sure they have enough special flexibility. I don't know. I don't want to say special ed because it's not all just special ed. I mean, there's so many different variances that students can get. But they have to provide those Pleasant students. And if they're stretched thin already on their requirements, I can understand where they're not going to take on extra commitments that they can't guarantee.
Well, what makes
it
an...
I think you and I get it, but I don't... It's nuanced. And if you don't deal with open enrollment, then... Because I did. I open enrolled my oldest for years. So...
Right. Well, I mean, I don't think it's Pleasant's fault, but what I thought was interesting was that the post, and I don't have it word for word, was essentially she seemed to be very angry at the woman who told her on the other end of the line that her son was not going to be open enrolled. Now, what I was saying earlier was I thought that was odd to mention that point if you had talked to the superintendent. So I thought that was an interesting part of the post. And then also the fact that clearly, I think people were blaming Pleasant and didn't understand what had happened or what has happened with the federal government. But I'm not really sure where this all went because, like I said, she seems to be gone from Facebook and the post seems to be gone at this point. And I don't know what the resolution to that is, but I can imagine a lot of people getting upset at Pleasant. And even if they were going to take on her son now, she's probably made a lot of enemies there.
Oh, likely. But, I mean, elections have consequences, and this, unfortunately, is the consequence of the election. You know, people wanted the Department of Education. Said, okay, we did it.
Well, that's
this
true.
Example, I guess, is the, you know, I mean, this is what happened, and I'll mention her name because she made the post publicly. Kara Stevens, she's guidance counselor at Grant. 8th grade, I think, but she made a pretty lengthy post that explained what happened in this situation. But, well, I mean, I understood it before, but she put it in plain language that people could understand and said, you know, elections have consequences, and your children are the ones that are bearing the brunt of it now.
Well, I thought it was...
This kid has gone to Pleasant for I don't know how many years, but he's going to have to leave his friends, and I'm sure he has, since he lives in the city, he probably has some city friends, but not like the ones you've gone to school with for the past how many ever years.
Well, I thought it was very interesting coming from her because she's also a very politically active person.
Yes, and she's the head of the Democrat club here in Marion or whatever they call themselves.
Well, so I thought that was interesting. Oh, you know what? We talked about
that
earlier.
She is also a
guidance counselor.
School guidance counselor. I mean, and she, I mean, that's her career. So political or not, you know, it does affect her job as well.
Right. Well, and it's interesting. This is just a sidebar. You know, we talked about that word earlier because when Pastor Craig was in here earlier, because he used the term Democrat, and I said, here's, it's not the word why I think that's being used as a derogatory term. I said, there are two reasons I feel it's being used as a derogatory term. Number one is because the only people I ever hear using that term are Republicans. I don't hear...
I am a Republican, you're right.
Well, there you go. So I don't hear that, like, I'll hear J.D. Vance use that term. I'll hear President Trump use that term. I'll hear Bernie Moreno use that term. But I don't hear President Obama using that term. I don't hear Hillary Clinton using that term. I don't hear Sherrod Brown using that term.
Democratic just doesn't flow in my mind, in language. It just doesn't feel right to me. And it's I'm not using it as a slur. It just... I can't break that.
Well, here's the problem.
I've had this conversation with you before.
Well, but this is the second point now. And this is, I think I finally figured out the problem I really have with it. It is incorrect. Because if you say the Democrat Party, that's a double negative. Because
Democratic Party.
Right.
But they are Democrats, not Democratic.
Right. But if you say the Democrat Party, which is how people use that, I don't have a problem with calling somebody a Democrat, and I don't think they do either. But if you say the Democrat Party, and that's when they use, that's the part I don't like, that is grammatically incorrect. Because you're referring to one Democrat and a party, which is plural. So, if that's the way it is, then we have to say the Republican Party, we have to refer to them singularly as Repubs. They're not Republicans.
So, Republican is the plural form of
Well, that's how they've used it as a party, the Republican Party. So you can't say, so if you are a part of the Republican Party.
Oh gosh, you're getting so nuancy here, but yes, I get what you're saying, but I guess mine's more colloquial and just slangy than, I don't know, maybe it has to do with syllables, how many syllables there are, because we tend to use shorter words than longer words.
But find me one example in video or in text of the Democrat Party being used prior to 2020.
I mean, I guess I would have to go back and look. You pay attention to these things more than I do, simply because you talked about politics and had Democratic candidates. See, that just doesn't feel right to me.
You
had Democratic... No, I guess that would be right.
That would, the Democratic Party.
You had candidates that were Democrats?
Yeah, you can say that, yeah.
Okay. But if I'm trying to just figure out the rules around saying it, I'm not being disrespectful and trying to be nasty about it, the Democrats.
No, but it would seem to me that the Republicans are doing this because Democratic also can be used in a democratic process, democratic...
A positive way.
Right, so you have to say Democrat, the Democrat Party, but that if Democrats are members of the party, then it can't be the Democrat Party. If it is, then the Republican...
Aren't they trying with the Democratic Socialists, too, though? Aren't they trying to float that one around?
No, isn't that interesting? Then why isn't it Democrat Socialist Party?
Well, I mean, when you have so many slogans and so much propaganda, it's hard to keep straight.
I think that use whatever word you want, but I do think that that's being used in a pejorative way.
I'm going to give the disclaimer to all my friends that are Democrats or Democratic or whatever it is that I'm supposed to call you. I don't mean to be disrespectful. It's just really one of those things my brain can't grasp.
Well, apparently. I mean, would you call a Republican a Repub? You're a Repub?
Yes. Because I say Dem and Repub a lot.
Right,
and
I mean,
to do again with the syllable thing. It's just, it's faster.
But would you say, hey, our governor's a Repub?
No, I would say he's a Republican.
But see, that doesn't make any sense if you're going to say that a member of the Democratic Party is a Democrat. A member of the Republican Party would be a Repub.
I apologize to everyone in advance for not being able to...
I know this sounds terrible.
...at age of 29.
But you know what? These words just sound odd to me when people say...
Well, word choices do matter. I mean, if you're being deliberate about it, I do agree with that.
Right. I don't think calling anybody a Democrat is a problem. Hey, you know, this person's the Democrat, this person's the Republican. I don't think anybody has a problem with that.
As you said, though, I mean, they're trying to... they don't want the positive, you know, we're a democratic republic. They don't want that part in there. And then we've got the democratic socialism. I don't know.
Now, see, they'll use democratic there.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Well,
it's just enough.
You've got to tie the socialist with it. That's an odd observation, but it's an interesting one nonetheless.
Right. All I'm saying, I don't like when people use conservative or liberal or progressive in a pejorative way.
They refer to themselves as that.
Right, but the other people will use it as a pejorative. If you want to go after a Republican, you don't say, well, you're a Republican. You say, you know, the conservatives.
You've got to say right-wing conservatives.
Right-wing conservatives. And, you know,
yeah.
So there's
far
that.
Right. Yes.
And I don't like that, because conservative on its own is not a bad word, but if you use it in that way, you're trying to turn it into a bad word. Liberal
well, there,
is used that
there's
way.
There's the Tennessee congressman from Tennessee. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he touts himself, I've looked at his Facebook page, as an ultra-hardcore conservative. I mean, he explains himself as more than a conservative. He's definitely a devout conservative. And the way I came across his page is that he has actually introduced legislation in the House to ban the federal government from purchasing flock cameras or any type of technology that's similar. So I thought that was interesting. But he proclaims himself to be an ultra-conservative, constitutional conservative, I do believe, is what one of the adjectives that he used. And, yeah, he's anti-flock, but that was his choice of words.
I just looked this up, and if you look at like the pages for the parties, like the Marion chapter, the Marion chapter,
the Democratic Club.
They call themselves the Democratic Club, not the Democrat Club.
Right.
So I think it's what you want to be called, and if they want to be called that, then I think you're using it in a bit of a pejorative fashion.
Well, what if you just can't remember? You know, I apologize in advance.
Well, that was an interesting. We ran out of time when I was having that conversation with Pastor Craig earlier. But back to the issue at hand here with the student at Pleasant. You know, I don't know what happened. I don't know if that student ended up at Pleasant or not. I don't know what's going on there. But I do feel bad that Pleasant bared a burden there, and I also feel bad for this student. Disabled student.
Yes.
Who?
Well, but I don't. Were they disabled or were they just on an IEP? Or
now see, is that's a see? People could take that as a bad word.
Well, I don't. Yes, you're right, because there's still a stigma attached to the word disabled, and there are different levels of disability. But even the most severely disabled people have value and can contribute to society and live a valuable, full, enriched life. So, yeah.
But I guess
that's another thing we struggle with as society is accepting the disabled amongst us.
I guess the bigger conversation around this was, do you take to social media with your outrage? Because
yes.
Well, see.
Your City has worked for me amazingly.
Well, here's the thing, and I think it probably hurts the school, but I can't do that because I know that there are people who will be hurt by that I don't intend to hurt, and I don't want to do that. So,
and that's understandable. You don't necessarily go with all your outrage, but as I believe you were alluding to, did she speak to the superintendent? I would exhaust all of my resources to get the issue resolved before I got everyone with the torches and pitchforks. That would be my last
right.
resort.
So our question,
not my first.
So the question was earlier, did she speak to the superintendent? And we don't know. That was the conversation I think you fell in on earlier.
Yeah. And then
that we
dropped
were
out of, against my will.
Dropped out of. But that was it. So anyway, aside from that, you know, flock cameras, here's my new assertion as of today on the flock cameras. I don't think there's more than 3 votes on city council to remove them. I don't think there's any chance. And I think part of the problem was, and I'm not being critical of the people Monday night, but I've already said this. I think in the hour and a half, it got repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
And I am all for the room being full. I thought that was great. Standing room only is good.
Yes.
I think the problem is, and I likened this earlier, and not that I'm the smartest person in the world, trust me, I'm not. But if I'm in the room with 15 reporters, and somebody gets up before me and asks a question that I wanted to ask, I'm not going to get up and ask it again.
Right.
And I think that was the problem Monday night. And I think, I don't know what the convincing argument was, and I think that's where they've lost Scott Kreider and anybody else.
Hopefully the convincing argument is that legislation already exists. That should be the convincing argument. And I agree with you that when people mention things, I try to, like, if I've got it written down to say, I check it off my list that we aren't hitting the same thing twice and we're using good use of our time. But Ross Smith was so preoccupied with keeping time that I don't even believe he bothered listening to what people say now that I go back, watch, and listen, because he's more about, like, watching the clock and saying, you have 30 seconds. Well, if you're really listening, you know, shouldn't that kind of be the clerk's job so the committee can sit there and listen to the residents instead of being the timekeeper? Isn't that more of a clerical job? I don't know. I just thought about that.
Right off the bat, I realized that Ralph and Dan and even Scott Kreider were not for this. And once they lost Scott, I don't think it really mattered anymore. Honestly, I think there will be some kind of legislation that comes down the pike that puts some rules in place. But as far as removing them, I think that ship sailed.
Well, nationwide, I mean, if we start getting into the federal government banning contracts with Flock, I can't believe that states wouldn't be too far behind. And if this becomes, it's not becoming, it is a hotbed issue amongst people. I don't know, I guess I'm going to go back to, I don't trust anything that this police department tells us, and I have various reasons, obviously, that other people do not share. One of them, you know, just the way that my family, my whole neighborhood's been treated over the years, not being able to even get a police report taken, you know, and then when you go back and read a police report, if it was taken, your name's not right, and just things like that. And then one thing I've not really mentioned much, but I might have mentioned it to you once, but today I mentioned it again on Facebook. I did take to Facebook for this one. You know, I got my mother's case files that I was told didn't exist. My family was told nothing existed for decades. And I even distinctly remember having a conversation after my grandmother died, calling up and just, you know, one last-ditch effort, and them telling me nothing would ever happen unless someone came forward or someone confessed that the case would never be solved. And then I don't know why the interest happened or whatever, but obviously the case was solved. And when I get the files, Marion City Police Department was in there in 2014. I live in the same house as I did. You know, I'm right up the street. Wouldn't have had a problem finding me. And the last two people that were in that case file was Jay McDonald and Chris Adkins. And a woman had came in. She was mentally ill. She wanted to talk about this murder. She wanted to talk about this case. She had a history with the police department. Sounds like she had some issues. It's mostly redacted, so I can only piece together what was said. But they didn't take her seriously. And they didn't, I mean, they listened to her and they half-assed documented what she said. But if they'd gone back, started looking through that file, they would have found the confession letter in 2014. That man was still alive. He could have stood trial.
You know what's still the mystery in me to that? It's. I mean, I'm not saying that the current people maybe should not have acted better. But who put that in there? I mean, who read that letter and wrote it off for whatever reason?
I don't know. Because it convinced a grand jury 43 years later. Between that and the other evidence.
Well, and I mean, even if they didn't believe it at the time, even if they thought it wasn't a reliable person, why would you still not bring it to light?
I don't know.
That's what's weird.
That's why I have a real hard time sitting in the room with the people that decided, you know, this woman, okay, thanks for stopping up. And if someone actually told me, unless someone confesses or comes forward, this will never be solved. Somebody did confess. Nobody took the time to find it. So I have zero faith in them over that. And it's not, we're not talking about people 40 years ago. I mean, Dennis Potts' name's all over the damn thing, too, as one of the detectives. You know? So when I see these people and see their names and whatever else, and I mean, if Jay McDonald was in the file, King Welcome was the police chief. You know, so I'm sitting in a room with all these people that had the potential to solve my mother's murder and the man stand trial. You know, trust us. Trust us. We know what we're doing. We've got it all under control. I don't trust you as far as I can throw you.
I just, you know, a lot of people grow up and they want to be police officers. That's not anything I ever had any interest in. And, you know, it's not just the idea that there's a lot of guns and, you know, danger.
Danger. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, there's that. But that's also the fact that I do think that solving these crimes is not an easy thing to do.
No. Well, I mean, in this instance, it could have been. But I can't imagine the emotional toll that it takes on these people. And one thing I was reading that they cut with the fire department, which is so horrible, they cut their mental health counselor for the fire department. My nephew's an EMT and a paramedic. He chose to go to Delaware to work. And he was telling a story at the 4th of July about a young woman who had tried to kill herself by eating glass. And he was the paramedic that arrived on the scene, well, one of them. and he was talking about getting her to the hospital and just kind of trying to keep her calm and get her there so they could treat her, because there's not a whole lot that paramedics and stuff can do anymore compared to what they used to, but that's a different story. And, I mean, that bothered him. This girl's talking, trying to talk to him, because at that point then, like, she sort of realized what she had done, and she was low-key dying, and she's also emotionally distraught, and talked about coming up on car accidents, and he's a young guy, 22 and 23, and he's just settling into this career. So I can't imagine cutting their mental health. You know, when my nephew is sitting and telling me how this has affected him, I can't imagine what somebody that's seen this 100 times, but their condition might be.
Well, it's horrible. It's horrible. And yes. I just I don't know. It's a rough situation. But, you know, that reminds me of Chief Deem. You know, it's sad to me, and I forget who was saying it this morning, but no matter what he says, people are going to tie his retirement to things not going so great in the city right now. And, you know, I just wish, because if I would say something, I'm sure people could find a reason behind it, and there isn't always a reason behind it. Sometimes you just, like he said, which I thought was really rather direct, sometimes it's just time to go. There isn't anything behind it. It's just time to go. You feel that it isn't. When you do something for a long time, when you get to a point, when the train gets to the last stop, you get off. I know of a lady recently who worked in a field nearly half a century, and a change happened in her life, and she decided to retire, much like Chief Deem. Now, people want to tie her retirement to the change in her field, even though she has said multiple times she'd already made the decision. And she's been in that field for half a century. Isn't that enough?
Yes, it's completely believable that she's ready to retire after 50 years. And as a firefighter, I'm sure it, well, to me it's completely believable that he was ready to retire after 30 years. So, I mean, and it's not unheard of. Not like, I mean, he's already gone past his retirement when he was allowed to retire, so.
And as a matter of fact,
I think it's unfortunate that he won't see the fire station built. I feel bad about that.
Well, as a matter of fact, I could make the case that there is nothing behind this retirement, because I think because of the timing of it, the fiscal emergency happening this week, that being a good representative of the city, he would not have chosen this week to do that.
I agree. Like, he wouldn't have drawn any extra heat to the city over him leaving with everything that's going on. I believe that about him.
Right. So I believe that the fact that it did happen in the same week and all about the same time proves even more that what he's saying is true.
I don't think he would lie. I also don't think he would disparage. So, you know, I'm...
Right, but...
It is sad that there's controversy around him at the end when... And it's not really controversy. I think you know what I mean. That he just couldn't go out with the cake. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's even any whispers about it at all because of all the people in city government. I don't believe he's one that deserves it.
Well, I just think there's way too much suspicion in certain things. Now, I'm not saying curiosity is a bad thing, but there is a difference between curiosity and suspicion. If somebody tells you flat out, and you can't find a reason to poke a hole in it except coincidence, that's not curiosity.
Some of us don't believe in coincidence. You know, we think they're more rare than what everybody else does. But I don't have a reason to doubt anything he says. If it were coming from anybody else, I'd probably call them liars, but yeah.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, there's something, and this is maybe just belies the point. Back in 2020, there was something I was going to do. Now, I'm not going to talk about it now because it would make no sense now, but there was something I was going to do, and I actually told some people, like in February or March, that I was going to do this in May. And they were like, oh, okay, well, that'll be interesting to see how that goes. Well, what happened in March of 2020? Pandemic. And
yep.
I felt that in May, there was no way that this was going to make any impact as it would have if I had done it during normal times. And so I just didn't do it. So, you know, to me, again, there are things that people... If something happens, like a fiscal emergency or a pandemic, you chances are would not do, you know, the thing that would call it, bring attention to you, and that's why I don't think he's being dishonest.
No, I just don't think he's a dishonest guy. So
nice man.
Yes. Very.
By the way, have you, on a lighter note, have you seen all these people getting engaged?
No.
Oh my God!
I'm of an age where people don't get engaged anymore. They get divorced. They get remarried for the seventh time, or they have some significant health issue. That seems to be the age group that I'm in.
Well, that's what this generation has brought. Multiple marriages. See, it used to be an anomaly. Like if somebody got married a bunch of times, you looked at them funny. Now, now it's the rule, not the exception.
Except for you and I.
This is right. This is right. I can still hold my head up high and say no divorces.
I always say of all the mistakes I've never made or ever made, marriage isn't one.
Well, I'm just, you know, I look at these, and I don't want to say bad things about people's engagements, but I look at them and I just go, you know, if you're putting a picture of your hand with a diamond on it on social media, you know, I know.
You're inviting the thieves.
Well, but you're, you know, and look what happened to me today. It's kind of like the people who are on this Ozempic now and constantly showing me their weight loss. You know, I'm okay with it once, but good Lord, not every day.
So they're fishing for compliments then, is that what you're saying?
They have to be. They have to be. How many times can you put a then and now up there?
Well, I agree with that, and as someone who has lost a significant amount of weight, I even left my fat picture up until recently, so, like 2 years, I left it up.
I hate to say it, some of these people look better heavy. I'm sure it's better for their health, but some of them,
well,
God bless them.
My understanding is that on the GLP-1s, if you don't eat protein and drink water and do exercises, they tend to lose muscle, not just fat. So they're not just losing weight, they're also losing muscle, and then they're not getting the nutrition they need because they're not hungry. So they start to, like, lose hair and stuff. I've read some really crazy stories about it.
Hey, here's a funny story get your take on. An influencer had canceled a date recently over a lame restaurant choice. Now, she said that there are three things that are important in a maybe she's a foodie. She said... there has to be $3 signs, preferably four, but $3 signs in the restaurant's rating. They have to have white tablecloths, and the man needs to send a car for her. Now, you know...
Well.
Yeah, well, there you are.
I guess if you live at that level, and that's... those are your demands, and you wonder why you're single, that might be the reason.
Well, do people have to agree on the restaurants? I mean, this is dumb to me. You might be missing out on something really good because somebody wants to take you to Chuck E. Cheese. I mean, come on.
Nothing good comes from Chuck E. Cheese. So, I get
it. Well, I like when the big rat comes out and dances every so often.
Oh, and his dirty rat costume that the kids have snotted.
I like it.
All over.
Oh, it's fun.
And their cardboard pizza.
Let them have fun. Ski ball. They have ski ball.
I used to be good at that. I won't claim fame on that one anymore. No, I don't know. I haven't dated in so long. I'm not the one to ask about this.
You know, I'm not sure, though. I mean, do you believe that people have to agree on the restaurant?
I've come to the conclusion that at this age, I look around, I told you I see divorces, or I see fifth marriages, or I see incredibly ill spouses, and I've just decided to make it work. I've decided even harder, like, whatever effort it requires to make this work, it's either that or be alone, because I'm not going to date anyone. I'm not going to deal with anybody. I'm stepkids and that sort of stuff at this point in my life. No. I've got way too much work invested in this one training. I mean, it's still just half-ass. So I couldn't imagine starting over on that. And this one's pretty handy, and he seems to love me. So I'm just going to make it work or be alone. So
I was telling somebody
I'm probably going to need someone to take care of me when I get old.
There you go.
And until I can get the replacement, his son trained, our son, then I've got to keep him hanging around.
See, I was telling somebody the other day that I think my opinion has changed on this, because I think when I become older, I'm going to marry a much younger nurse.
That's how that's going to work out,
yes,
for you, huh?
Because you need somebody there to pull the plug. And also, if you have to come home and you can't do anything, you want somebody there who's trained.
Well, if they really love you, they'll learn to do things quickly. But on that note, seeing friends in these past 2 years, and also my own dealings with cancer and seizures and that other stuff, I did decide to get my weight under control and live a healthier life, just so I will be the one tying my own shoes and hopefully wiping my own behind into my golden years, well into my golden years.
Oh, yes.
So I decided to try to prevent heart attacks and that sort of thing. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think we all should be aware of that. We all should be aware of our blood pressure and cholesterol and diabetes and that whole bit.
Mm-hmm. But I was pre-diabetic and all of that sort of stuff, and triple digits and things you're not that are only supposed to be double, and I decided I'm not going to live that life. So.
No, but I think that it's very important to note that there is going to be a point, and we all just are going to have to accept it, where you can't do what you used to do. And
right.
If you live alone, sometimes that's, you don't want to get up in the middle of the night and fall down. You know, I fall in and I can't get up. You don't want to be that lady. So
that's why I'm going to be good to my grandkids.
Well, so you've got to have somebody around. So I either have to get married to a nurse, or I've got to have like a surrogate child. You know, I think you can have a surrogate child.
It could be like a nephew. You wouldn't have to consider them a child, so you don't have to fully support them emotionally and financially. It could just be like a nephew. You know, your friends more than you are. Really,
well, and I have good relationships with a lot of younger people through teaching and also through working with them at other places.
That's smart,
so.
Spears. Get them about 20 years younger, your friends.
20, 30 years younger right now, and then you cushy up to them, and then you can call on them when you can't drive at night anymore, and you can't...
Right, when they need an adult now, we can be the adult figure in their life, and when we need a caretaker in 30, 50 years... They feel emotionally bonded to us for all of the guidance that we gave them in their younger years, and we'll take care of us. I like this idea.
Well, it reminds me of, what was that show? Facts of Life. Remember Facts of Life? You know, they lived...
Take the good, you take the bad, you take it all, and then you have the facts of life.
See, there you go.
The facts of life. Yeah, I remember it.
You had this woman. You had this woman who was... She was not related to these kids. You know, Mrs. Garrett.
Mrs. Garrett.
And she... These, like, four girls lived with her, and she gave them advice, and she was just the lunch lady. Essentially, the school dietitian gave her a fancy title, but she gave them advice on their lives, and they became attached to her, and there you go.
Natalie and Blair and, I don't remember
Tootie.
The other one's name. Oh, yes, I remember Tootie.
Tootie.
But there was another one, and I don't remember her. Bless her heart.
You know, it was the popular one. The rebel.
Blair was the popular one.
No, the rebel was the popular one. That's the one you're forgetting, the one who was the biker.
Oh, okay, but Blair was the popular blonde.
She was the snob.
Yes,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Yes.
But I thought that was a decent show, but you know, have you ever seen the reunion of that show?
No, I have not.
Very good. I watch it every Thanksgiving, because it's an odd holiday to do a reunion around, but there's a reunion, and I think people can watch this on...
Well, you don't have to compete with other holiday shows at Thanksgiving, because who's watching what else on Thanksgiving?
Well, really...
Around that time, you know? I mean,
well, here's the thing. In the reunion, I mean, because Mrs. Garrett's long dead now. Matter of fact, you know, Mrs. Garrett was on my show. That was a fun interview to do.
Well, she does the... Like, the in-between, your little...
Yeah, she does the top of the hour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when I ask her how close Charlotte Ray is to Mrs. Garrett.
Yes.
Yeah, but...
She's the rotten, mean woman, right?
Yeah, Mrs. Garrett wasn't real.
That's why I like her.
Yeah, well, she said Mrs. Garrett wasn't real. Kids love her because she didn't lose her temper, but she wasn't real. But what's interesting, that reunion movie, which happened like 25 years ago, because the show was on like 40 years ago.
Right before we were born.
Yeah. It's Thanksgiving, and they're all going to have a reunion in the town that they were from, or where the show took place. So they're going to have this reunion, and they all come back, and it's kind of a very good movie, actually. Most reunions are terrible, and this one is actually good, I think, because they weren't trying so hard, and everybody except the one we forgot is in the movie. All the other actresses are
We forgot her. She didn't come back for the reunion.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that made her obscure.
But it's very good. It's very good. And
I'll have to try to find it on Amazon or whatever it is and watch it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a very nice movie because the show, you know, itself is based upon basically what we said, but the reunion movie, they're all there and still active at the time, but it's just a different take on the show, which is good.
Well, yeah, when I get around to having some free time, this has been a very busy time. I had to buy the kids' school clothes today. I haven't done that in years.
What's popular this year?
Well, my son's an old soul, and this is a funny story. He's going to Tri Rivers next year, so they all have uniform shirts. That's easy. I just had to buy bottoms. And he's pretty easy. I call him old soul. He likes Levi's, and we're making sure he got the cut that he want. We went down to Tanger today. What all good Marion folks do. We traveled out of town to buy stuff. Went down to Tanger and went to the Levi's store. And he's in there. And, yeah, I'm flashing back to when he's a little kid and you're feeling around the waistband and stuff. And now I've basically got a grown man standing on the other side of the door. And he says, "Mom." I'm like, "Yeah." He said, "These jeans don't have a zipper." I was like, "You know, are they broken? Is it missing? What's going on?" He's like, "No, it doesn't have a zipper. It just has buttons, 5 buttons. I was like, he's got on a pair of button fly jeans and he's never had on button fly jeans before, so he couldn't figure out why in the world there wasn't a zipper. And so I'm standing in there in the Levi's store thinking back to my glory days wearing button fly Levi's and just getting into trouble. So yeah, we had our experience with the Levi's today. But I don't know if you go to Tanger, but the people listening, if you guys go to Tanger, they have an app. I hate getting an app for everything, so you can also go to their website and register. And they have coupons that you just go and click on, and it'll give you a code to redeem while you're in the store. Like, I saved $30 at Nike. I saved 15% at Under Armour. Sperry's, I think I saved 20% on just random things just because I opened the coupon, because I went to the website and opened the coupon. So.
You know what's interesting? That it doesn't take me back to my childhood school clothes shopping, although I do remember doing that. But what that reminded me of is the years I worked at Sears when I was in college and right after college. Because Sears
people
was
bringing their kids in to get their...
Yes, and we were a very hands-on store. I mean, there were stores, retail stores, that weren't really about that. Oh, we were about that at Sears. We were about, you know, taking you to the clothes. Can we help you with anything? You know, they were very big on that at Sears.
So when Sears clothes, too, their kids' clothes, they had some kind of guarantee on them that, like, if they wore the knees out before they outgrew them, that they would replace them. Like, they were...
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So a lot of... I went there and bought a lot of clothes when they were younger because that guarantee. I mean, if you can wear a pair of pants on a 3-year-old and get them replaced right before, you know, I mean... 4 or 5 months into it.
I still say Sears, when we would still be in business had we not merged with Kmart and then had all this superstar nonsense. You know, we no longer had regular tires. We had Penske tires. We no longer had regular toys. We had Sesame Street toys. We no longer had regular bed linens. We had Martha Stewart every day.
You guys abandoned Craftsman and Kenmore and...
Oh, Kenmore was there till the end. We sold them. We let other people use them eventually, but we still sold them.
But that was those were the staples.
They were, but I'll tell you, Jacqueline Smith. I said, who in the world is Jacqueline Smith, and why does people want to wear her clothes? And Kathy Ireland undergarments. Oh, hell yeah.
Gloria Vanderbilt.
I mean, it was ridiculous. Everything had some kind of celebrity tied to it. And I thought, you know, this is costing this company some money. And
well, between Sears and JCPenney, that was the only place you could get your Levi's in town. I suppose Elder Beerman, too. But, yeah, if you were wearing the Levi's. What I think is crazy is I remember how much they cost back then. They cost like $70, $65, $70, and that's about what they cost today.
Well, some,
you know, they give you some sale, $120 with 60% off or whatever, but
some things never change. We had good sales, though, at Sears. That was a good place to work because you always could see the clearance items first, so you got the the pick.
But I liked Sears as well. Shame that what happened to them.
Went down the tubes. Well, hey, we're going to break. Thanks for calling.
Hopefully Matt gets there. Take care, Spears.
Yep, thank you. Bye-bye. All right. Well, hey, the quote so far of the show is, "Mom, my jeans don't have a zipper." Well, there you are. Stay tuned. We've got a whole nother hour and 15 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Because certainly 10 presidents, you've had your share of criticism. How do you deal with that?
Well, in the first place, you look at it and you see whether it's valid or not. And then you consider